Well, Romans chapter 13, we talked about our relationship with our government last week. We preached on that Sunday morning, just how, where, what is our responsibility as Christians as it pertains to civil government. And we studied through verses 1 through 7 in that aspect. And what we have here, Paul's talking about relationships. He started that theme in chapter 12. Our relationship with God, our relationship with believers, our relationship with enemies, our relationship with government, starting in chapter 13. And now he's going to transition back to our relationship with our community, with others around us, our church community, our surrounding community, and that begins in verse 8. And I want to just share a few thoughts with you here with the time we have remaining. Notice with me in verse 8, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." I want you to notice that. We'll see that again. "Hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." With the Lord's help, I want to just share this thought with you tonight. The Christian's greatest obligation. The Christian's greatest obligation. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm grateful tonight that I am free. Oh God, as the songwriter said, I am free. Free because of Christ. Not anything I've done, but all what you did, Lord, on the cross of Calvary. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you that you overcame death on that third day. We thank you for your resurrection. And we thank you that you are now sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And you're also living your life through us by the Holy Spirit. I just pray tonight that you would help us to understand even more of our responsibility and obligation to love like you do. So God, we commit the service to you this evening. Lord, it's been so precious already. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Christian's greatest obligation. It is indeed, as Paul brings to our attention here in verse number 8, he's bringing attention, talking about a debt. He says here, "Owe no man anything." Now, some would say, well, there's your verse there that the Christian should never be in financial debt. Well, I do not believe that's what he's talking about there. Because we do see debt in the Old Testament. We see debt in the New Testament. We see lending in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's not ever evil spoken of unless you are refusing to pay that debt. Because usually when someone lends you money, there's a contract. There's an agreement of how much you will pay to pay back that debt. And that is where we understand that is our obligation, that when we do borrow money, whether it be for with a mortgage, a house or a car or just things in life, whatever it may be, that's not wrong. It's okay as long as we keep our word in paying off that debt. No, Christians should be known as people who pay their bills on time. Believers should be known as people who follow through in paying off their debts and not trying to hide from them or run from them or to cheat anybody. Am I right on that, church? Yes, we must have a testimony of being good stewards and being honest people. And so I do believe that we must be careful to live within our means. I believe it's wrong to just just take out a credit card and just charge everything and think to yourself, well, we'll pay it one day, when you eventually find yourself paying 25% interest on a credit card. I'm telling you, that's not God's will. You have to be good stewards. We have to make good judgments. We have to learn to do without, because God doesn't want us to live above our means. He wants to live within and to be, again, wise stewards of how we spend His money. Somebody said, well, since we give 10% to God, isn't the other 90% ours? Listen, everything belongs to God. 100%. He's just saying, listen, I want that 10% you to give towards your church, to go towards the work of the gospel through the local church, and for it to function as it does. And that 90% is still mine. I just want you to be good stewards of it. So we understand that aspect, but I don't believe that's what Paul's teaching here. He's not giving a financial lesson. He's talking about a debt that you and I are still paying on until the day we die. You'll never stop paying it. But if this sounds strange, it may sound strange, but let me get into the rest of the message. It's a debt that we should enjoy paying daily. The Bible says right there that the debt that the believer now has is a debt of loving those around us. I am indebted to you. We are indebted to one another to love one another. I learned this concept actually when I started preaching through the book of Romans. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. But God used this greatly in my own heart when Paul said in his opening, in his introduction to the letter to the Romans, he told them this in verse 14. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Brother Wes, it goes back with what you were teaching this morning on the long suffering of God. We understand that God's desires for people to come and trust Him, and He is long suffering. And do you know what that means? You and I are. We are long suffering as well, or should be, to the lost around us. We should be long suffering to one another while we are indebted to one another. Do you see yourself as in debt to others to love them? That's a very fundamental biblical concept that we find right here in the Word of God. Paul says it clearly. You can read it there with me again. It says there in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's where we owe people. That's where we owe each other. That's where we owe the lost. That's where we owe the enemy. It is to love them. And because of that, he says, for he that loveth another has what, church? That's the way it does it. We fulfill the law. I don't know who said this. I drew it from another commentary, and he didn't quote the source. But someone once said this, and I believe there's some truth to this. He said, if we love God with all our heart and other people with all our heart, we can do as we please, because we will only want to do that which pleases God and benefits others. That's pretty interesting. And that is indeed the great commandment. It is to love God with all our being and to love others as ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's what Paul's teaching here. Notice what he says here in verse 8. He says, goes on to verse 9. He's going to quote the second half of the Ten Commandments. Because those are the commandments that deal with our relationship with others. Again, this is the context, our relationship with other people. So he doesn't name them in the same exact order. He actually does it like he does the 7th, the 6th, the 8th, and the 10th. Why he did it in that order, I don't exactly know all the reasons why. But he gave those that to not commit adultery, murder, or to steal, or to covet, because why? Those are prohibitions in the context of our relationship with other people. It affects others. All those things are done very selfishly, without loving the other person. Adultery. In fact, any type of sexual immorality is simply an evidence of you loving just yourself. You're not loving God and others. And we must understand that along those lines of even coveting from others or stealing, taking from others, and certainly murder. And I know sometimes we as believers, we think, well, I would never murder anybody. Well, Jesus says if you have hate towards somebody, you have committed murder, the spirit of murder in your heart. I mean, if you have hatred towards someone, Jesus says you have the spirit of a murderer. And so we have to understand that God wants us to express the opposite of that, and that is love. And when I love you like I should, I fulfill all of the law. That's beautiful. That's God's design. I like what one writer said when he said, living by love and living by the law are not mutually exclusive. Some would think that. Oh, we're not under the law. Well, that's true. We're not under the law. But we should never discard the law. God's law is holy and good, and it has its purpose and use. In fact, this writer went on to say, they are in fact inseparably related. God's law cannot be truly obeyed apart from love. Did you get that? God's law cannot be obeyed apart from love. Because love, and only love, as Paul has already explained there in verse 8, is the fulfillment of the law. So as we understand, as we love, as God commands us to, we know that His law will be fulfilled. You know, I say it like this, if we love others, we will not sin against them. If we love others, we will not sin against them. Galatians 5:14, you don't have to turn there, but Paul repeats this to his letter to the Galatians. And he said that the law, love, is going to fulfill the law. Let me read that if I can get to it. Here it is, Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. Well, you may ask, as they did, as the Pharisees ask, and then even the disciples, who is my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Well, look beside you right now. Look to the third person beside you and say, howdy, neighbor. There you go. Hey, neighbor, that's your neighbor. The person you live with, that's your neighbor. The person that lives beside the house beside you is your neighbor. Your co-worker is your neighbor. The brothers and sisters, we rub shoulders. We're neighbors. And God says we ought to love one another. In fact, remember, that's what Jesus said. That by this, the whole world will know that you are followers of me by your love one for another. And do you know some of the meanest people on the planet are carnal Christians? It's the truth. Some of the most cantankerous, mean, bitter folks that I have met in my life have been people that say they know the Lord, but yet they're filled with bitterness. They're carnal. And I tell you, that's a bad testimony for the Lord. So if you're here today and you're struggling with that, cry out to God and yield your heart. Let the love of God flow through you. He wants to do it. How do we show love? I'm just going to throw several out here. You could think of others. We forgive. We pray. Hey, when you start praying for someone that maybe that gets on your nerves that you don't like, you start praying for them that God would bless them with understanding, with repentance if they're in sin. You start praying that God would give protect them from Satan and deliver them from Satan's deceptions if that's the case. You find your heart supernaturally, I can't explain it, but being somewhat endeared to them. It's God's way of us showing love by praying for them. Not only by it, but by giving. We give to others as an expression of our love. We give of ourselves. We teach. The Bible talks about by our teaching we show love. By refraining, as we're going to get in Romans chapter 14, there were some things that weren't necessarily sinful, but it was a stumbling block to others around them. And so Paul said, look, why don't you just refrain from that as a symbol of your love for them? Because you don't want to cause them to sin or be tempted to sin. And so he used the word love. Show your love by refraining. Sacrifice. We understand that sacrifice is a part of that. Jesus says that no greater love than this, than what? A man lay down what? His life. For who? His friends. Those that are around. That's a spirit of sacrifice, and that's an expression of love. Now, I had to talk with Mike and Noel and get wisdom about this, because this has to do with music. And I'm telling you what, I'm not the one to talk to. I'm not an authority on music, all right? I know how to play the radio, amen? That's what I can play. I can play the CD player, the Bluetooth, whatever. But when it comes to understanding a lot of the aspects of notes. So I read this illustration in another commentary, and I just thought it was pretty amazing. He explained that there are, on a music scale, and Brother Tim is here tonight, and he could definitely give me some wisdom, Wes's dad, on the music. But the illustration went forward like this. There are seven basic notes on a music scale, okay? Now, that's kind of new for me, all right? I didn't know whether there were six or nine, okay? It's great. There's seven. Wonderful. Yes, I'm in the choir, and please help me. Lord, help me. All right. I know how to follow that little black squiggly line and go up and down the best I can, and then I hopefully have someone like Christian, Hunter, or Charles beside me that I can kind of follow with, all right? But do my best. But he explained that there are seven basic notes that even many children can learn even in an hour or less. Yet, he says, those same seven notes, people like great composers like Handel and Handel's Messiah, you know that he wrote Handel's Messiah, Handel and Beethoven, could not exhaust those notes with all the variations in their entire lifetime. From those seven basic notes. And he said, that's like love. There, love has the basic meaning of God-like love, as we mentioned, but there are literally inexhaustive ways for us to express that love daily. But as God's people, let's strive every day to be the most loving people on the face of this earth. If you agree to that, would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray.